As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. In a half hour, Ross Tucker joins us so he can grade my offensive line big board. How about Elliott picking out Dylan Gabriel? How about Elliott just saying that?
Well, you guys are both arm testing.
I would not feel good about that.
I feel good about Kyle McCord. I feel good about Dylan Gabriel.
Well, listen, I appreciate picking a local kid.
Yep.
But at the same time, you could have picked the other local kid that won a national championship.
I pick who I pick.
Who are some of the other quarterbacks Elliott has liked?
Oh, well, he's horrible. I mean, Paxton Lynch, Cardell Jones, you know, I mean, up and down a litany of quarterbacks he's been bad with. Now, the tough part for him is that during those times, the Eagles need a franchise quarterback. You know what I mean? So there's way more hot quarterback takes.
Yes.
They haven't really had to do that in 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Why don't we get back to the Phils? Why don't we? Unfortunately.
What's going on?
They better win tonight.
It's tonight a must-win?
It's a must-win.
Yeah,
we're back in must-win situation.
Like Chris Sanchez, bud. Me to you.
Yep.
Need you.
Must-win.
Need you tonight, Chris Sanchez.
Must-win. By the way,
look,
this is not... I'm not one of the Phillies fans that talks about how many tickets we sell. I hate when they do that. But Citi Field, like, half empty yesterday.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Had a big game in New York.
What's that? Yeah, but there's 10 million people up there. There's only 20,000 people that go to the Garden, watch them lose to the Pistons. Full of Axe body spray, gold chains, and chest hair.
They are.
The Garden.
The Knicks fans are pretty cringeworthy. I saw that video you put out.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a tough one.
Oh, that guy?
Imagine if they won a championship.
Oh, that guy? Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh, man.
They're just sickening.
They're just disgusting.
Yeah. They're
the worst fans in
now,
America.
I will say it was a 50-degree night, so it was a cold night. Cold baseball, not in October.
But they're
not
in first place against the Phillies.
Listen,
you gotta fill the stadium.
No fraud. By the way, Phil's rolling out the same lineup as last night. So Stott, Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, Kepler, Real Muto, Boom, Rojas.
Yeah.
So same exact lineup. The magical lineup scored 4 in the ninth. It doesn't matter when they score, according to Spike.
Well, they could have scored 5 or 6 if your boy didn't get up there trying to be a hero.
No, listen.
All right.
Hey, Kobe didn't pass at the end of the game.
Right.
So it happens. What do you want him to do?
Right.
Ranger Suarez is starting in AAA tonight.
Oh, good.
So he is starting up in Lehigh Valley, one to monitor. I know there's been a lot of thoughts of putting Ranger in the bullpen. You know, the piggyback thing I think is interesting. Taiwan obviously would go to the bullpen and be a long man. He's not helping lift the bullpen. You know, he's not.
But Ranger is. I've started to come more to the position that Ranger as a bullpen arm is worth more than Ranger as a fifth starter for the Phillies right now.
Yeah, again, this is all prevalent on Taiwan keeping it up. Now, we'll see when Painter, there's options. And it could be time for the Phillies to do something bold. I'd be more surprised than anything.
Do you think putting Ranger in the bullpen is something bold? You're saying that could be something bold?
Well, I'm saying that would be a bold move.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It would be a bold move.
But I do think, you know, he's pitched out of the bullpen before, and as you mentioned, he is valuable in the bullpen. Taiwan is not valuable in the bullpen.
Yeah.
No. Nobody feels good about Taiwan coming out in the bullpen.
It's not like he's going to go from the old 92 to 96 because he's going to the bullpen.
No, but like, you know, Lizardo goes 5 innings. Ranger going in there giving you 6 and 7, you know, makes me feel a lot better than any their other options.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
What about the old pitching consecutive days? How many days in a week does he pitch? Like, what does that mean with Ranger? Is he used to that?
Well, no. then that's something he would have. And again, what has to be factored into all of this, I know people say it doesn't matter, but I think it does.
It does matter.
Is that he's going to be a free agent. And Scott Boras wants him to obviously pitch as many starts as he can to prove he's durable. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one. And then the Painter thing's a tough one, too. I wouldn't put Painter in the bullpen because you're asking a 22-year-old kid to maybe have to go back-to-back if he's really good at it. I don't know. It's a lot of hoops you got to jump through.
I tell you what, hearing this and the sort of resistance or reluctance to do it with either guy does not bode well for the bullpen getting any better. Like, where is the help coming from?
Well, Spike identified a guy in Reading this morning.
Okay. So
what were you doing at 4:30? Like, did you wake up, take a blue chew?
No.
He starts grinding offensive linemen. You gave me a Reading pitcher, obviously. Like, if we can break down Griff McGarry as much as you want.
Well, okay.
And you did your quarterback big board.
So here's what happened. I get up at 4:30, and actually the YouTube, YouTube took me up to maybe 6:30. But then I still had time. So I was like, this Philly bullpen thing is pissing me off. So I start looking at all the stats of all of their minor leaguers. And Ike, there is a guy they have, and I asked Jack about him. I was like, Jack, they got this guy in Double A. He's, get this, he has 12 appearances. There are 12 innings he's thrown, 0 ERA, 16 strikeouts in Double A. And then you look at his stats. Now he has a career 4 ERA or whatever, but he struck out 320 guys in 200 innings. Like, whatever this guy is, my thing is this. He's obviously got great stuff. His name's Griff McGarry. He's obviously got great stuff. Get him up here with Caleb Cotham. If Caleb Cotham is the best pitching coach we've had in 25 years, if this guy has a chance of getting better, they need bullpen arms. You can't tell me he's worse than friggin' Ruiz or Joe Ross or the hell they throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's got good stuff.
Griff's got stuff, man.
Just bring him up here.
Now, he is 26 dominating Double A, but
I don't care.
It does, but it matters.
It matters, but I'm just saying.
I know. I agree with you. It's a shot. They got to take a shot on something.
It's worth a chance.
What's happening right now is not working.
Right.
So I need to go into the trust tree.
Okay.
And I need to talk about one of my biggest fears with the team.
Okay.
And it really hit me last night. A lot of things hit me last night with the frustration with the game. But one of my biggest fears with this team and the current iteration and possibly going forward is, like, you know, I worry that the game might have passed Dave Dombrowski by. And I look at the Mets and I look at their front office and what they've built pitching wise. And, like, they got these scrubs, right? I mean, McGill's not a total scrub, but he's been a 4 ERA pitcher, and this year he's down to a 1.4. Griffin Canning has sucked his entire career, and this year he's having a great year for the Mets.
Signing Clay Holmes.
Clay Holmes. Sean Manaea last year. Sean Manaea was nothing. Super inconsistent. And it's just like the Phillies have to get better at, obviously, internal player development with the Mets now spending the money they are and with the Dodgers. And if they're going to do that, like, they also have to make smart, smaller signings. And you look at this bullpen, and it's just like Dombrowski set this team up to fail this year. I mean, we said all offseason, even with Romano, the idea of him bouncing back and being a competent pitcher, they were still an arm short. And how it's played out now, like, they had to extend Nolan an extra inning last night when they shouldn't have, just because they didn't want to go to Jose Ruiz, and they put Jose Ruiz in there, and he gave him an absolute meatball to blow the game. Like, they were set up to fail from the jump because of the Dombrowski decisions in the bullpen and not being able to replace Jeff Hoffman in a smart way.
So let me ask you this. How much of that is Dombrowski, and how much of that is the guys working for Dombrowski? Because I would imagine that Dombrowski isn't scouting, or he's doing some of it, but he is leaning on the people who do the work for him and say, this guy or this guy or this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those guys have their part in it, but at the same time, he has to be the ultimate driver of this thing.
Sure, yeah.
So he's got to sign off on him. No, we can go in the season with Romano and Strom and Kirkering, and we need to bank on a Jose Ruiz taking another step forward. I mean, he's the one that signed off on that. Like, they gave $8 million to Romano. That's not, like, nothing.
Well, yeah, especially Hoffman only got 10.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's about making smart decisions. And, man, it's like there was a quote from Stark, I think, this offseason when talking about the Dave Dombrowski's trade ideas. And his philosophy is he makes bad trade offers and eventually some team's going to take them, basically. That's fine in 2005. when teams are dumber.
Yeah, but teams are smarter.
Teams are way smarter now. Yeah. And that stuff's not going to work. And to believe in this offense again and bring it all back and think the Bone thing was going to work out. I mean, Bone's batting 198, you know, and he's obviously on a 7-game hitting streak, Ike. You know, he's heating up.
Eight-game
hitting streak. Start the parade. Start the All-Star campaign now. But
we're crawling. We're crawling.
Like, his thing is supposed to be able to get the chemistry right. And the chemistry looks like it's wrong.
Well, I actually think it is a fair comparison to Morey, because while I think Daryl Morey is a good GM, I think you could say that his peak was when the three-point revolution was happening, which he was a part of, getting Harden. Harden was an undervalued player at the time. Even though people knew he was good, he figured out he was better rather than others. And this whole star thing, and what it has turned into is the NBA is less about getting, you know, two big stars and throwing a bunch of minimum guys around him. And he may not have adjusted in, you know, he may have been a great GM. Yeah, I still think Daryl's good at what he does, but his wins were a lot bigger 10 years ago. And the difference he was making was a lot better 10 years ago. And I wonder if Dombrowski, and by the way, that trade offer thing that you're talking about is what Morey is famous for. Morey will call everybody. You want to trade me this guy? You want to trade me that guy? And just make offers. And it was a lot easier when half of the GMs in the league didn't know what they were doing. But now that everybody sort of knows what they're doing, it gets a lot harder to get somebody to take a deal like that.
Well, I would say this, and I'm not taking Dave Dombrowski off the hook here. And it's not, I'm not saying he doesn't have some responsibility for the lack of movement this offseason to improve this team in a dramatic way versus in a small incremental way. But let's not lose sight of the players. You say Daryl Morey. As much as we may want to get on Daryl Morey about last summer, the fact that he did put a team together that went up 3-2 over Boston, the team was good enough.
Oh, right. Yes, I agree.
You know
I
what
agree.
I'm saying? They were good enough. They just didn't do it.
No, I agree. And you could say the same thing about Dombrowski and last year.
Yes, right. With the Phillies. Like, they had enough talent. Now, granted, they're supposed to be able to wave the magic wand and fix things. I get that. But I think sometimes we are a little unfair with the GMs wanting them to just somehow flip a switch and fix stuff. Once they make some of these big moves, it's hard to just automatically turn around.
Well, and that's the thing that Stearns has that I don't think Dombrowski has in terms of cash. The Phillies have a big payroll, absolutely. But the Mets owner was willing to say, okay, Scherzer, I don't care. Okay, Verlander, I don't care. I'll pay it off. Just get us prospects back. And essentially spending hundreds of millions of dollars to watch people walk away just to build back farm system. And I think Stearns is great. He obviously knows what he's doing. But when you have the ability, the Phillies could just... We've been watching Taijuan Walker for 3 years here. Everybody,
from
the Mets
standpoint, they would have already gotten off of him by now.
Right, right. But we're so tied into the fact that, well, we still owe him $18 million a year. And it's not a negative against John Middleton. You can only have so much money. Mm-hmm. But you do have to, I think, when you're looking at the Mets, acknowledge that the fact that their owner was willing to just like pour money down the drain to rebuild the team.
Yeah, but
I think it does give him an advantage.
So my pushback there is they didn't really get anything for those guys. I mean, they got Luis Angel Acuña, who's a second baseman that's okay.
He's just starting second baseman.
Yeah, but they didn't rebuild. Like, I think the thing that Stearns has, the advantage, is finding underrated talent and getting most out of them. Jesse Winker. You know, Jesse Winker has been on the scrap heap for multiple years, and he's up here. He's batting fifth for the team right now. Jose Iglesias last year, and turning his career around. Griffin Canning, like I mentioned, Sean Manaea, like making those kind of small bets that, like, we paid Max Kepler to be the starting left fielder. Now I think he had a good night last night, but he's hitting .233 and has one home run and three RBIs.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Just it's the big money's fine. Juan Soto, I totally get it. That's a no brainer signing. He's getting off the things great, but he also made smarter bets. And it has helped lift the edges of the team.
Now, you would, again, I agree with you. I don't think Dombrowski gets enough criticism, but I think you could look at last year and you could say Jeff Hoffman is a find. Strom is a find, right?
He's had win. I mean, Lizardo's a win.
Lizardo's been the
the best offseason acquisition.
I mean, all three of those guys. Wheeler's obviously the best pitcher of the three, but Wheeler, Sanchez, and Lizardo have all been as good as each other this year.
Sure. And again, he's. I think he's done a lot of good for the Phillies behind the scenes when it comes to turning them into a professional organization. I don't think they were that under Klentak and McPhail. Mm-hmm. But just like this specific thing and getting this team, and I don't know how you've been in the game as long as he has and looked at the bullpen and said this is going to hold up. And the fact that there's not really a homegrown guy that can come up from AAA and at least help the bullpen, that's frustrating too. So, like, again, good job, but like, just you watch the difference between these two teams. And the biggest thing I think also is there's a big difference in the front office.
In the Phillies front office and the
versus
Mets
the
front
Mets front office.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the one concern I have, this is actually a Ken from Cinnaminson point, is I don't think Dave Dombrowski, I think when John Middleton, I think the relationship that John Middleton has with Dombrowski is sort of like the relationship that Jeff Lurie had with Joe Banner and Andy Reid for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think that my guess is John Middleton trusts Dave Dombrowski like infinitely,
implicitly.
Like there is not that he doesn't ask questions and doesn't, but I don't.
If Dave says this is what he thinks.
He believes in Dave Dombrowski and Dave, and you know, Preston Mattingly is the next guy. Whenever that happens, and who knows what decisions he would make if
we
talked
to Preston.
If he was in charge, but I don't think we could yell and scream about Dombrowski from now until until we're out of breath.
So you're blue in the face.
Blue in the face, and I don't think that John Middleton is questioning the job that Dave Dombrowski does. I think he's got another few years before.
Well, and I think
he's probably gone before he even gets questioned.
I think he views him as Pat Gillick. And I think we look at Pat Gillick and we say, great, right? He won the World Series.
Yep.
He had his misses, but the guys stepped up around him, you know? And that's what this team needs. But I don't know. That's just one thing that hit me after watching last night.
All right. Good call, Jackie Baseball. By the way, ringthebellbook.com. The next five orders, free shipping, signed by Jack and Ike.
And Thank Kevin.
You. Next five owners. And Kevin. Well, Kevin's my star.
Yeah, I know.
He's the assumed part of it.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
215-592-9494. Rick in Lancaster. You're on WIP. What's up, Rick?
So she told me
her
one.
That's not on Jack. He was doing his thing. Jay in Philly. You're on WIP.
Yo, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
I'm good, man. First, I want to just say we lost too much talent, the Eagles did, to draft a quarterback this draft. If we lost half the guys that we lost, then I'm like, I'm okay with it. Then cool. But, man, to lose as much talent as we lost, man, I don't want to draft a quarterback, man, because we can fill holes that we need fill. And quarterback is not one of them right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thought experiment. I can't imagine them taking a quarterback in the first three rounds. Now, if they're in when you get in 4, 5, 6 territory, you're just looking
for
guys.
Three fifth round picks.
Yeah, you're just looking for guys you like.
Yeah.
And if there's a guy out there that they like that they would like to take a look at that maybe ends up on the practice squad or the third, maybe who's the guy they traded for? Dorian Thompson Robinson. Maybe they end up
like that, right?
Maybe PTR. They end up.
How about that?
Dorial Green Beckham. I think the one point Elliot made on Go Birds is if they like a quarterback more than they like him. Then it's worth taking him. But if they don't like him more than they like him, then they won't. Yep. I agree with you largely, though, Jay. I don't think in the top rounds they would even think about it.
And we've lost so much, you know, like. Don't get me wrong, we still have a lot of talent. We just lost so much to the rotation, and we got to fill this roster out some more. Like we just have to. Like we expect guys to step up, but they're unknowns in the new role that they'll play.
Sure.
They were playing lesser roles. So having those guys play more of a role in being counted on more, that's a big difference for them. So, you know, who knows if it'll work out? You know, who knows if a Jomo can really fill Williams' role? Who knows? You know, we won't know until the season starts. You know, we need backup linebacker. We need safety.
Yeah.
Like, we need a lot. We need an outside cornerback. We need a lot, man. I do believe in the talent that we have, and I do believe in the coaching, and I believe that they're good enough that they can now have guys just play their roles. I feel like in sports, teams aren't good enough to let a guy just play his role. They ask him to do too much, and that's when the guy looks bad. I feel like we're good enough that if we draft a defensive lineman, all you got to do is play your role. We got defensive linemen to do all this, this, and that. You know, all we need you to do is play your gap, or you know it, you can rush the passer. We got you. So I think we're good enough for that. The Phillies, though, my God, I don't know why we're so soft on them. They've been a 500 team for the last year. The last two playoff losses, one, the Diamondbacks loss was a heartbreaking loss, and the Mets loss was an infuriating loss. You know, like to lose to the Diamondbacks was like, oh, that was heartbreaking. The Mets loss, though, was anger. You know, like, how can we lose to these guys? And we're not better. Like, we're not postseason better. Who cares about regular season? Like who cares? We're not postseason better.
Well, it's hard to know.
We care about the until we're not in the playoffs, then we really care.
Then we care about
the
regular season. Yes. Jay, first of all, I don't think people are easy on the Phillies right now. To be honest with you, I think people are pretty mad about the Phillies. You know, you watch the games; everybody's just having a good time. It's a different vibe at a Phillies game than it is an Eagles game or something like that. Everybody's just there for the atmosphere. I think people are upset, and I think people feel the way that you do. I really do. But to your point, we're not going to know if they're better in the playoffs until the playoffs. Like, now we have to get there,
yeah.
But it's impossible. You can't say...
And that's really what they're being judged off of anyway.
Right. Like, my trouble is, if they play well, everybody says, this doesn't matter until the playoffs. But if they play poorly, they say, see, they're not good enough. So I'm trying to say, I didn't do a very good job last year of staying sort of level in
even
what I actually...
Spike.
Yeah. I'm trying to not lose focus on the fact that I think they're a 90-plus win team. And I'm not going to say that they're not going to succeed in the playoffs until they don't.
I tell you what, Jay, everybody else that's listening,
yeah,
we got something interesting brewing here.
What?
Because you're going to be tested.
Oh, I'm going to be tested.
Yeah, you're going to be tested.
Yeah,
so
I'm
how
be tested.
Long the spite remain?
I'm going to be tested.
Even keel on this team. Because this team, I think the team... Because of its flaws, there's going to be times they are frustrating.
Oh, look, if you were to see... I was texting Jack last night, like, this is my nightmare. This is the worst game of the year, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. There's it, but I... And thank you for the call,
appreciate
Jay.
It, Jay.
Yeah, I sleep on it,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all
that's
right.
That's good. No, it's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Well, because last good. Year was like, if they allowed a run, went up 4-1, he'd be like, this bullpen, this is the
yes.
worst.
Yeah, it was melted. It crushed
me. I feel
me,
you, yeah. So that's why I'm like, it's something great to monitor.
Yes. Tell you what. Well, I did lose it on Bryce today, and I haven't lost it on Bryce.
You can't wait to lose it on Bryce,
that's
though.
Not
yeah,
true.
You wake up every day saying, it's how not, can I lose it on Bryce
that
today?
That is not true.
I didn't think you lost it on Bryce today.
I thought it was fair.
I thought it was fair.
I thought it was fair.
Yeah. Jack, of course, feels the sharpness of it.
Yes.
But I thought it was fair.
Okay, thank you.
I thought it was fair.
So 215-592-9494, talking Phils, talking NFL draft, and speaking of NFL draft, you are lucky enough to get two YouTube big boards today. Ross Tucker joins us next. Last year, Ross judged my YouTube big board with offensive linemen.
We'll see what he has to say today.
We'll see what he has to say today. And the guy I was right about that he was wrong about last
He's
year.
He's not letting that go.
No, I will not. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.